turn to Romans chapter 5, okay? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Let's stand. We'll be reading God's word. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Okay? Initially, it was 1 to 21. Then I decided 1 to 11. No, so much just in two verses, so I just want to focus on the blessing of being right with God, all right? The blessing of being right with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Let's read together with joy in our hearts, thanking God for what He has done and what we have. Okay? Ready? Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. 1, 2, begin. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let's have a little prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace that has been so graciously poured out at the cross. Lord, we're just overwhelmed by the fact that you would even bother to send your own Son to die for sinful people like us. All because, Lord, of your holiness against sin, but also because of your unconditional love for us who cannot save ourselves. So we thank you, Lord, as we meditate, as we understand from your precious word what you have done, that we were justified by faith, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for every believer that is here, someone who have repented from their sins and put their faith in Christ. Oh Lord, this truth will just grab their hearts. Therefore, once and for all, Lord, they will know their position in Christ, so that they can move on and live for you. We thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us through your word. Use your Holy Spirit to teach us. Fill us, Lord. For those who are saved, fill us, that we can understand your word and it will affect our lives. And for those who are not saved, someone who may be grappling, or Lord, they're unsure of whether their sins are forgiven or can be forgiven in this life, I pray that you'll show them clearly from your word today. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith. Right, for those who have been following us, or if you've been reading the Bible, Romans 3 and 4 taught that we are unable to save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. But God has provided a way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has provided a way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. A clear way. That Christ paid for our sins by his blood. And Paul says that all God requires is for us to come to the cross. I mentioned before that we were sinners. Here, God is holy here, and God's holiness cannot come across here, not because he doesn't want to, because he can't. He's holy. Exodus 33 verse 20 says, no man has seen God and live. That means that I can tell you, if God would have come in, we're dead. You know why? Because of his holiness, there's so resplendent. It just is a big word, but it just means so bright and so glory. Do you realize the holiness of God is a million times brighter than our sun? A million times. And that when we stare at the holiness of God, we're dead. And because of our sin, God can't come across. But God says, I'll set up a meeting point. You know what the meeting point is? The cross. When the Lord Jesus Christ died for us, he combined God's holiness and his love. And when he died, his blood was shed. God says, that's the only place I will meet you at. Because I sent my only son to die for you. So that you who cannot save yourself, you who have no way of making, you no way of coming back into my presence, I'm providing a way. And I'm sending out my own son. That's why there is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Why? God's not going to allow anyone to sidestep his son. He gave his best. And through the son, he wants us to see his love. And so we as sinners, when we realize the gospel of faith, John 5:24 says, he that heareth these sayings of mine and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life. That's John 5:24. And so God put Jesus as the meeting point for us. And the Bible says, Romans chapter 3, verse 25, you have your Bibles, you can just look there, whereby when we put faith in the blood of Christ, when we put faith in the blood of Christ, we have the hope of eternal life. Faith in the finished work of Christ. When we look at the cross, and when we repent of our sin, and we realize, God, you have done it all. All I need to do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In John chapter 6, verse 40, the Bible says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. That's what Jesus said. If you see the Son and you put your faith in the Son, now we need to understand when Jesus spoke to the Jews and the people following him, he was not just saying, oh, believe, Lord. Like today, many of us as Gentiles, when we say believe on Jesus, and some people, there was one man who was sharing the gospel with this Indian, another man who was an Indian. Sorry, one lady was sharing the gospel with another Indian man. And at the end of the whole story, she was just going through a simple gospel presentation using the Romans road. And after that, she prayed. Apparently, they prayed. Later on, she asked, so if you die right now, where will you go? And the Indian man just looked, I'm going to school. So it tells me that Indian man didn't understand. But when Jesus said this, he that believeth on me that sent me, the Jews understood the entire process of the Messiahship of Christ, that he is the Messiah. And Jesus said, if you would see me, the Messiah, and remember behind that is all the knowledge of the coming Messiah, and you believe that I'm the Messiah, and you believe on me, you have everlasting life. For us as Christians, there must be a time you go back to that you will say, I didn't believe initially. In fact, I was kicking this. I didn't believe this. But until someone patiently shared with me the word of God. Some of you were saved only after 1 year. All right, I was saved. Already I had some preparation when I was primary four, then on secondary one, when someone came and shared with me the gospel after 3 years, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. The Bible says if you put faith in the finished work of Christ, you will be saved. The Bible also says, 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God had the witness in himself. If you trust Christ, you have the witness in yourself. No one can tell you you're saved except God and yourself. Okay? He that believeth not God had made him a liar because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. The record is what the Bible said. The record is what happened in history. The record is some of us, and even in secular history, it's recorded the life of Christ. If we don't believe that, and he died and rose again, we don't believe that, you know what we're doing? We're calling God a liar. That's what John is saying. He was talking to a group of people who refused to believe. He said, if you do that, you claim to believe in God, that Jesus is the Christ, and if you don't believe that, you're calling God a liar. Okay? And so that's what he says. But he says, firstly, if we believe on the Son, put faith on the Son of God, had a witness in himself. Okay? Which means that you have eternal life. Now, what happens after we've placed faith in Christ? What happens after that? Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore being justified, the word justified means, children, what does the word justify means? I mentioned 2 weeks ago, but we can't remember. Justified means being made right. Okay? Being made right with God. Remember? How are you made right with God? We are sinners, so how are we made right with God? Being justified, being made right by faith, by trusting God. And guess what's the outcome? The Bible says, after we, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, we have peace with God, okay? Before we were saved, because of our sin, all of us were enemies of God. Brother Johnny, are you sure? You know the kind man, he's always doing kind deeds. How can you say he's an enemy of God? The Bible says, if you're not saved, you're an enemy of God because of your sin. That's what the Bible says. Listen to this. God was never our enemy. We are enemies with God because of our sin. Does that make sense? God was never our enemy. Some of you already are fathers and some of you are teachers, and you know that sometimes when you do something for your children or your students and teacher and children may say, hey, Dad, you don't love me, right? No, I just give you assignments you need to do. Yeah, lah, you're trying to control us, right? No, I'm trying to help you learn. You know, as dad, sometimes we give instructions so our children will emotionally blackmail us.
Oh, daddy don't love us.
But actually, daddy says, no, I love you. That's why I'm doing this. God was never our enemy, amen? He never was our enemy. But we are enemies with God because of our sin. Because of our sinful, selfish heart and mind, we will always think that God is our enemy, when in truth, we were wrong all along. But when a few things happen to lead us to the place where we can be right with God. Now, I'm just giving you kind of a journey, perhaps, of your salvation experience through the Word of God, whether by preaching, teaching, hearing in a Bible study, or through sharing by someone, we gain an awareness of sin. We gain an awareness of sin. After we gain an awareness of sin, we get a sense of the righteousness of God, and that God has to deal with our sin, and a general dread. A dread that, oh, if God is righteous, then there's judgment. This tree must be part of our life. Otherwise, we cannot be saved. You know why? Because these three things that I've just mentioned is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at John chapter 16. It's actually, for our visitors, it's actually written down. You want to turn to your Bible verse? You see, when we are sinners, the Holy Spirit's ministry is not to make you think that God will give you peace. The only peace you will have is when you make peace with God first. Alright? And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit in John 16 verse 8 says, and when He is come, these were the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me. You know why people go to hell? People go to hell because of two things. Number one, their sin. But you know what's the greatest sin that leads people to hell? Unbelief. And that's something that I'll deal with a bit later. But it's very, very important for us to understand. The Holy Spirit will convince. That's why many good people say, I'm okay, what? I'm not very, you know, I know I do wrong, but you know, I'm not so bad. The Holy Spirit will convict of the fact. Your sin is not that you do wrong. Your sin is that you sin against God. And God's the standard. Alright? So the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit also convicts us of righteousness because I go to the Father and ye see Me no more. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit will convict this world of righteousness because by the time Jesus left, the world will understand there was someone who died for sin. And Jesus is God's standard of righteousness. And then we will know, and the Holy Spirit will tell us, hey, I'm not just comparing myself with a pastor, I'm comparing myself with God. No, as pastor, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I don't compare myself with you. I may look a bit better, spiritually maybe, but I should be in hell because of my sin. Because my comparison is not with you, my comparison is with God. And God says, I can be so-called the most popular pastor, so what? The Lord Jesus Christ was despised or deserted even by His own followers, but He honored God above all. And that is what the standard is. And so for us as non-believers, the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of righteousness, and then in verse of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And I love this, you know why? Because the tense, you know the grammatical tense? The tense is the prince of this world. Who's the prince of this world? Satan himself is judged. The judge is perfect tense and in the passive tense. What does it mean? Perfect means completely done. Passive means He can do nothing about it. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, that was God's active defeat of the devil. That's why Jesus said, it is finished. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit brings that to us and says, one day, Johnny, if you don't repent of your sin, the same judgment is going to go on you. Alright? The Bible says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And that refers to all of us. And so the Holy Spirit comes and will convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So in your journey of faith, and then suddenly there's an awakening that says, hey, I'm a sinner before God. What do I do? Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 and 17. Then we realize and are convicted by the Holy Spirit that only Jesus Christ can save. I'm concerned that there are some so-called Christians will say, oh, there are still many roads to heaven. No, there isn't. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said it himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. If you are a Christian today and you think that all roads lead to heaven, you're not saved. I say again, if you believe as a believer, you say you're a Christian and believe there are other ways to heaven, you're not saved. You have what you call syncretism, where you believe in a whole range of God. That means your faith is not in Jesus only. Does that make sense? Oh, I say that so that we are very clear. The Bible is very clear that only Jesus can save. Only Jesus Christ can save us. Look at Matthew 16:15-17. Then I'll explain to you why. This is a very important aspect in your journey as a Christian. Because some of you have experienced that. Now, I don't believe that we can ever base faith on experience. But experience can only be justified when it's found in the Word of God. Okay? And so, in Matthew 16:15-17, Jesus had a kind of a question answer with Peter. They went to Caesarea Philippi. It was a very important time in the life of Jesus, because for the very first time, he's going to tell them, I'm going to build my church. But before he built a church, he needs to know that the leaders of the church know who he is. In Caesarea Philippi, in Matthew chapter 16, if you read the context, it's a stronghold of the demons, of devil during that time. Okay? They literally have Caesarea place, a kind of a river, a big hole, and they said this is literally the gates of hell was physically present, all right? Because the people believed there was this pond, there was this hole, and they actually call it the gates of hell. Okay, I don't have the picture here. But so when Jesus talked about the gates of hell, the disciples knew what it meant. And so when Jesus, the first thing Jesus spoke to Peter was, who do men say that I am? What do everyone think that I am? So Peter, of course, said, you know, Lord, some say that you are this and you are that. Then Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? It's not important. You know, every time you ask people you're a Christian, say, oh, my father, they will say, oh, my grandmother brought me to church. Somehow the questions don't click. When we share the gospel, we ask people, oh, so have you trusted in Christ? You know, usually the answer is, oh, my grandfather went to church before. That's not my question. My question is, have you trusted in Christ? I was baptized as a child. That's not my question. Have you trusted in Christ? That's what Jesus is asking Peter. He said, Peter, I'm not interested in what the rest believe. I'm interested in what you believe. What do you say? Who do you say that I am? I want you to notice what Peter said. He says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. There are two things that you must admit before you can ever be a Christian, a genuine Christian from the heart, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the chosen one of God, and he is God himself, the Son of the living God. There are some people who do not believe that. You're not saved. Oh, Brother Johnny, how dare you say that? No, how can you judge people's salvation? I'm not. Look at the Bible, verse 17. What did Jesus say? He pointed to Simon Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. If you are a Christian today, do you know how privileged you are? That it is God who showed you in your mind and your heart that yes, this is the Messiah, this is the Savior that can save me from my sin. You see, everyone who is genuinely saved will know it in their hearts because God has showed it to them. God showed it to me June 1981. And my life that followed showed, I believe that only Jesus Christ can save me. Do you believe that? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he's coming back physically to reign on earth for 1,000 years. Before that, he's going to come in the rapture for us to be taken up. And then he will send his judgment on earth for 7 years. You know why? God has been patient with this world, the Gentile world, for the last 2,000 years. And he has put his people on the back burner. in the 7 years of tribulation, Daniel chapter 7, Zechariah chapter 13, all will talk about the fact that Jesus Christ is going to come back to win his own people back to himself. I used to think that in the 7 years of tribulation, many people die and go to hell. Yes, do you know in the tribulation period, Christians, are you listening? Half the world's population will die and go to hell. Half. And that is more than 3 to 4 billion people. All right? That's another message altogether. You know what? Now it's time for us to tell them the gospel. All right? But you know, at that time, there will be worldwide evangelization. There will be more missionaries sent out in the 7 years than there are missionaries right now. Right now in the world, genuine missionaries that go out, it's probably number 50 to 60,000. In Revelation 7, God is going to set aside 144,000 missionaries, virgins, who trusted Christ to go out and evangelize the world. And there will be a massive revival among the Jewish people, and they'll come back to Jesus Christ by faith. Salvation is still by faith. You know, when we as believers in Christ, when we are convicted of sin, that God is righteous and we are to be judged, the first place and position as a non-believer we must come to is we need to realize that God in heaven is a holy and righteous God, and he judges sin, and I am doomed. But God provided a way in Jesus Christ. And I flee and run to the cross. I say, God, I need you. I need you to save me. And that's when God accepts us, that I used to be an enemy of God, but because I've trusted Christ, now I have peace with God. Kind of like North and South Korea. They have been at war. Well, thank God for this illustration. They have been at war for more than 50 years, right? And what happened this week? Kim Jong-un and South Korean, would you step across? Now, of course, Kim Jong-un will be, yeah? And after that, why don't you step across? And, okay, you step across. That's peace. Now, it doesn't mean that everything else will change. This is important for Christians. But there is already peace. We don't know how long it will last. But there's peace, amen? But you know what? Just as an aside, North Korea is the only communist regime in the world that's resisting the entire world. Now the last obstacle is removed. You know what? It makes it easier for the Antichrist to come. So that's something else, all right? But anyway, but that's the idea of peace. It doesn't mean everything else is okay yet, but at least the leaders have said, okay, we're not going to fight anymore. You know, when we come to the cross, you know what we're telling God? God, I'm sorry for my sin. God says, look, I've been trying to win you all this time. Welcome back, man. Welcome back. Of course, God would say man. Yeah, literally, maybe man. God says, welcome back. You know, for us, say, God, at least I'm not perfect, but thank you for receiving me. And you know, we step across the line. Because of the cross. That's what it means to be at peace with God. I don't know about you. I don't want God to be against me. I don't want ever God to be against me. If God is for us, who can be against us? But now, because of Jesus Christ and what he has done, and because I put faith in what he has done, I've stepped across the line. Now I'm at peace with God. The Lord Jesus opens our eyes to the cross. God the Father shows us the Lord Jesus. We put faith. We repent from our sin. We turn to him by faith and say, Lord, I'm not going to live that way anymore. It was that way that nailed you to the cross. I'm not going to live that way anymore. But the world, the sins of this world, the pleasures of this world, and the riches of this world, Lord, I'm going to leave it behind. Why? Because of what you have done. Because of what you have done. Hebrews 10, verse 10. I believe it's there. Hebrews 10, verse 10. Let me just go through this. By the which will, let's turn to your Bibles. Hebrews 10, verse 10. Memorize this verse. This is the position of every Christian who have trusted Christ, okay? You need to know this verse. Hebrews 10, verse 10. The Bible says, let's read together so that we tell God that, Lord, thank you. Ready? 1, 2, go. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Okay, Hebrews 10 verse 10 says, by the which will, by God's will, we are set apart through the offering of the body of Lord Jesus Christ at the cross once for all. Let me just explain this. This is very exciting. Paul explains to the Jews the cross. And he says in the Old Testament, in order to have your sins washed away, you always need a lamb every year. Every year. So God, it's kind of like paying subscription. Every year you must bring a perfect lamb. All right? The blood will be shed. It will be sprinkled at the mercy seat in the tabernacle. And God will say, okay, I will tolerate your sin for this year. And every year they've got to do it until Jesus Christ came. And when Jesus Christ came, when John the Baptist looked at Jesus Christ, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. So when Jesus Christ died, once for all, the Lamb was killed, the blood was shed. When we place faith in that, we are set aside once for all. Once for all. And I was once saved, you're always saved. When you have diligently gone through and understood what Jesus has done, and that's why last week I talked about you need a faith that leads to a life of faith, you're saved. Once and for all, okay? So I just want to anchor that. Number one, we're at peace with God. That's our position. But number two, we now have access into this grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Now I feel like jumping up and down. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Into this grace by faith. And what does that mean? Through faith in Christ, we have been given the privilege by God to stand in this grace. The Bible says here, whereby we stand in this grace, the idea of a position that God has offered us. We stand in grace. This grace is the position of favor before God. I say again, this grace, we stand in this grace, is a position of favor before God. In other words, in the past, in order to get to God, I need a lamb. And even with a lamb, I can't go to God because I need to go to the high priest. Okay? But in Matthew chapter 27, verse 15, what did Jesus do on the cross? Let me just read what I have. I love this. Our position in Christ is a position of grace. It is planned by grace. It is offered by grace. It is received by faith through grace. It is to be lived in by grace, and through grace, we will be in heaven. It's all by grace. In the Old Testament, in order to get to God, I need a lamb, I need a high priest, but I will never get to God because I'll still be outside. Only the high priest can go into the Holy of Holies. Yes? In your Bible knowledge? Yes? But a very wonderful thing happened the day that Jesus Christ died. You see, in the temple of Holies, for the children, just for you, in the tabernacle, there's this big curtain. The curtain in the tabernacle is not a cloth curtain. It's a stone curtain. It's something that blocks the entrance. Let's pretend there's a big curtain here. It's made of stone. The Holy of Holies is behind here. The high priest cannot actually go in without the shedding of blood, the blood of the lamb, okay? And so the high priest will go inside only once a year. No one else is supposed to do that. But when Jesus said, it is finished, Matthew chapter 27, you know what happened? Suddenly, the Bible said there was a great earthquake. You know what's the greatest thing that happened? The veil was torn. A stony veil was torn. What does that symbolize? No longer do we need any human agency to take us to God. By faith, we can enter into the Holy of Holies. We have access by grace into this, by faith into this grace. Do you realize how great it is to have favor with God? Do you realize, Christians, that you are in a position of favor with God? A position of favor. That God looks at us. Not with, you got to do that now. You got, no. He looks at us with love. He looks at us through the cross. He looks at us and says, you poor thing, I need to help you. There are so many verses that says that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, and through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. God, the Heavenly Father, now no longer looks at us as someone who wants to fight Him, but someone whom He has accepted as His own. As believers in Jesus Christ, God has given us the opportunity to go to God at any time. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, to the praise of the shining of the benefits of the grace God has given to us, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Can I ask you a very personal question? How many of you sometimes in your life feel that some people don't accept you the way you are?
I did.
Not because my mom wanted that. But it's maybe, you know, people got feelings, right? So we feel unwanted. No children can feel unwanted. There was this experiment in one of the, one of the homes, whereby there was, just abandoned children, whereby they kind of did a study whereby some of the children were given like soft toys, and some of them were just treated coldly. And then after about 6 months, those people who were treated coldly, the children who were treated coldly, died. They were fed regularly and everything, but they died. But the one that survived were the children that had those cuddly toys. Now you know why even adults like soft toys. It's because they don't feel wanted. No, I'm just kidding. Some adults will play with all the soft toys and all that, right? Then children, don't point to your parents, okay? Okay? Because it's all started when they are young. And you are young now. So you will probably say, and some children have their soft toys, no matter how smelly, sound like quite cho-cho, right? They love it. Why? It's for security. But you know, some of us have real issues when they grow up. We feel that we're not accepted. Can I say this? God accepts you the way you are. He doesn't care what you have done. He doesn't care what has happened in your life. He doesn't care whether you are Donald Trump today, right? Probably after the reconciliation of himself, his probably popularity stakes will go up. He doesn't care if you're a beggar that cannot even make ends meet. The Lord Jesus Christ died for you just the same. Amen. And when you will come to the cross by faith, say, God, I've got nothing. Remember Lazarus, the beggar who had nothing in this world? And after he believed in God to take care of his needs, he was contented with his life. He ate scraps that fell from the master's table. And when he died, God accepted him. Christians, I don't care whether this world accepts you or not. Jesus accepts us. He has made us. You know why he had to make us and accepted in the beloved? Not because he didn't love us. It's because of sin. He couldn't bring us. It's kind of like, 不可以过去. Then he's, 我要想办法. I must think of a way. And that's when Jesus Christ came in. Does that make sense? And so that he can bring us back to himself. He has made us accepted in the beloved. That is our position in Christ. Christian, that is our position in Christ. And sometimes people go through life, so-and-so did this to me, or the trials of my life. God, where are you? You know, when we cry out and we counsel people, it's very hard for them to see. Christians, can I ask you, where is God when you go through the trials? Where is God in 9/11? Remember, there's a question people ask. Where is God? Where is God in your trials? He is right there. Not beside you. If you're a Christian, he's in you. He's always with you. Because Jesus promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he's God. He will not lie. That's our position as a believer in Jesus Christ. You know, I love this. In Psalm 23, verse 6. In the Old Testament, yes. But the Old Testament word mercy is the same word in the New Testament Hebrew-Greek equivalent of grace. Surely goodness and mercy. What did David say? Shall follow me what? All the days of my life. That's God's grace. That's God's grace. It follows us all the days of my life. Then in present, we live in the presence of grace and continue by grace as we are now a child of God. The next verse is powerful. As sin had reigned unto death, before you were a Christian, if you are not a Christian today, if you're not sure, children, are you listening? You have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are only controlled by sin. The Bible said that as sin had reigned unto death. In other words, if you're not a Christian, you're controlled by sin. You're led by sin. All your decisions is because of sin. It's all about yourself. It's all selfish. Okay? But then, even so, my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. So when we accepted Christ as our Savior by faith, righteousness has been settled. You know what happens? We step into God's grace. It's just like if you're outside of this room, you are not saved. You don't have the grace of God. You're controlled by sin. But the moment you step in, everywhere is grace. Even if you fall down, it's grace. Even if you knock into the chair, it's grace. Even if you accidentally swallow something, it's all of grace. Everything that happens in your life after that, you're governed by grace. That's what Paul is saying, that grace might reign. Grace is become the ruling principle in your life as a believer in Christ. Everything is by grace right now. It's all of grace. You are saved by grace. You will live by grace. Christians, you don't live by philosophies of this world. You live by the promises and the grace of God. Every single thing that you ever go through life is because of God's grace. Everything. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. Many people use this verse, oh, I can do what I want, I'm under grace, right? No. You need to think through. When Paul said that, he's saying, you're no longer under the law to sin. Sin don't control you anymore. You're set free. You're set free. Now you have God's grace to do the right thing. Last time you only lie. Last time you only do the wrong things. Because you were controlled by sin, the law of sin. You're no longer under the law, but you're under grace. So which means for some of us who cannot trust God with paying our bills, for some of us who have difficulty putting God first, you know what God says? Grace shall reign to help you do that. In the past, you will always put... That's why many people who are of the world will say, what comes first? I cannot go to church on Sunday because I need to take care of myself. We don't please God. But over here, you know what we'll do? God, I'm going to honor you first. I know I have needs, but God, because I'm under grace, and the Bible says, my God shall supply all my needs. Lord, I'm going to put you first in the decisions that I need to make. And I'll put you first. And God will take care of us. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean that we don't work. But I'm saying that when we come to the point, we have to make a choice between choosing God or choosing what we think. Grace will help us to make that decision. It's all by grace. And I hope that through this, you understand grace reigns for us as believers in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, let me just read that. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it's talking about giving. It's talking about helping the ministry of God. And God says the moment you give, God is able to make all his grace abound towards you as you give. Because your sufficiency has always been there. But God's going to use what you give with his grace so that you may abound to every good work. That simply means so that the more you give, God can make it greater. Remember the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Remember the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? No, that was just 5 barley loaves, which is about this size, like your, you know, kind of your gardenia rolls, and 2 little fishes. The nasi lemak type of fish, small ones. And these are the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And because this boy was willing to give, Lord Jesus Christ, through prayer and by his grace, fed the multitudes. That's grace. That God can take what I give to this person. There was one man who was sharing a testimony. There was this man, he was trying to challenge the multinational corporations to give to missionaries in India, I think. And this Indian man came to a church one time and challenged people to give. And he says, look, we need $30 to support one evangelist in India for 1 whole month. $30. He was in America. And so there was this boy who was listening. He was 9 years old. He said, I've been saving up for a bicycle. He saved up $98. And says, I'm going to take my money and give it to the missionaries so that they can go. Can you imagine the $98 can definitely buy a good bicycle, and many of the evangelists in India go by bicycle to go to the different parts of the village. And oh, God's grace is able to take the boy's US-98 and convert it into souls. Think about that. It can only happen by God's grace. Some of you have given to this ministry. You have been faithful. You serve. people have gotten saved. It's not your work, it's God's grace. That God uses you. Do you know, Christians, that it's a privilege to serve God? It's a privilege. It's a privilege to serve God. Because of what God has done for us. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be the pastor of Ambassador. I don't deserve this. You and I don't deserve the grace, but God gives it to us. God gives us grace so that we can be successful in the work. You know, all along it has been all about ourselves and selfishness. But when God saved us, He wants to show His grace to the world through us. Does that make sense? That when we give and don't ask for it in return, and even if people are give, no, don't give to me, give to God. If people say, hey, there's something different about this person. It's all about grace, it's a privilege. In Ambassador Baptist Church, can I challenge us as members? Don't ever complain when you serve God. Understand, it's a privilege. It's such a privilege to serve the King of Kings. I don't know about you, I'd rather serve Jesus Christ anytime, amen? He may be a poor carpenter, but no, He's a King of Kings. We are in that grace. I believe Romans chapter 5 verse 2 tells us very clearly, we have access into this grace, God's, whereby we stand. That's our position. And this position, brethren, if you are a believer in Christ, will never change till the day you die. It will never change. Cannot change. Sister Joy, can you come out? Sister Joy is my youngest. Of course, I got three other, but I'm not favorite. You know, I can do this because she's mine. Amen? Let's pretend she decides to do drugs. Don't do it. Okay, let's pretend. Okay? Let's pretend. And she's in jail. Is she still mine? Will I still do that? I will break. My heart will break. But she will know that I still love her. That's why I believe things. That's why I believe God gives us the picture that ye must be born again into the family of God. That's eternal security. A person who genuinely understands the sin that we've done and understand what Jesus has done, we were not going to go back to the cross. Some people say, oh, you believe in eternal security, you think you have license to sin? No. If we understand our sin and we understand how much Jesus has done for us, I'm not going back there, man. Eternal security becomes more of an encouragement to me and say, God, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve my salvation. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve my wife. I don't deserve my children. I don't deserve them. It's all because of His grace. I don't deserve it. But the Bible says, also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That's a position, a final position before God. That when God looks down from heaven at Brother Johnny and says, I know you don't deserve it, Johnny, but I love you anyway. Amen? That God looks down at each one of you who have trusted Him. I know you don't deserve it. Like the father, the prodigal son, welcome home, man. Welcome home. You know, the father, the prodigal, come and say, well, it's about time you come back, right? You better go and clean. He could have done that. No, he went now. He put his coat on. He put the ring, put the shoes. Why? Because of love. Because of God's love. Point number three. You know, the last part, just a simple last part. No, that's in Romans chapter 3. Not Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 5, sorry, the last part. And rejoice in hope, chapter 5, verse 2, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That simply means heaven. Rejoice after we've been have peace with God, and after we've been secured in Christ, that's in this life, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The idea of the glory of God, the Bible, Jesus says, some of you are not going to die until you've seen the coming of the glory of God. The idea of God's kingdom, God's glory. And so we rejoice in that glory. And that's His presence. His hope in the Bible is an assured hope. The Greeks, when they write it, they understood. The Hebrews, when they write it, they understood that the hope in the Bible, you know, in Singapore or in the country, I hope it will not rain. It's 50-50. The Bible is always 100% hope. 100% hope. Point number three, we are secured in Christ forever as a Christian. Did you know that through faith in Christ, our past have been dealt with? Some of you have a past. You know what? You and I don't have to worry about the past anymore. Our past was dealt with at the cross. When we face God at the judgment, every Christian, you don't need to bring up the past again. It is under the blood. It's over. It's canceled out. Every sin. At the cross, when we were enemies of God, we were made saints by the grace of Christ. Through faith in Christ and the finished work. That's our past. Then God gives us all grace for this life we live now. It's freely available. This grace can deal with sin. Sorry, past, present. This grace deals with sin. This grace makes us more pleasant to live with. Because sometimes some of us have a temper. Everything is with wow, you know. But grace can make us more pleasant to live with. Because God challenges us and say, hey, come on, you're no longer a sinner, you're a saint. Live like a saint. This grace can make you humbler in Christ. Because I don't know about you, when you realize that you deserve to go to hell and Jesus Christ saved you anyway, I don't think we can ever be proud again. Amen. By the way, it's a sin to be proud. And as Christians, when we have this knowledge, in our own selfishness, maybe in a situation where, who are you? We may show that pride, but you know what? At night when we pray and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gotten angry here. I'm sorry for being so proud here. We always go back and repent. Why? Because when we realize what Jesus has done for us, it has to make us humbler. That is the natural. When the Holy Spirit is in us, that's natural. Because Jesus Christ is the most humble man in this universe that ever lived, all right, the Bible teaches. This grace can make you strong as you go through the trials. And we will see that next week, okay? This grace can take you through everything that you ever have to go through in this life. Because just think, as a Christian, just think of yourself going through life in an unsinkable good boat. Amen? There's no amens. Come on, guys. Just think of yourself going through life in an unsinkable boat. I know you feel like you always are sinking. But you know what? You're going through life in an unsinkable boat of God's grace. Unsinkable boat of God's grace. This is the current. And then we have the future. That we will live with Christ in heaven forever. You know, you and I cannot give assurance of salvation to anyone. It's the Holy Spirit's job. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I cannot tell you you're saved. But you know, it's interesting, in the Bible, Paul actually points out to some people that their names are in the book of life. You know, Paul could say that because of their life. But you know, it is really the Holy Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, he that believed on the Son had a witness in himself. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'll give you this passage. This passage is very powerful because Peter knows how to encourage the Jews, because the Jews, 3 years later, is going to undergo the severest persecution. It's kind of like the Holocaust. It's going to happen in 67, when Emperor Nero signs an edict to kill the Jews. 3 years prior, Peter wrote this to them. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us unto a living hope. The word lively means living hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. In other words, it will never decay. Undefiled. That means it is perfect. And it fadeth not away. It's not going to get worse. Reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. I don't know about you, that sounds like eternal security to me. That when we come to, when we are sinners, we come to the cross, God accepts us. The air ticket is booked one way to heaven. Amen. And God has reserved that for us. Because you see, salvation is never by our works. It's always by Jesus' works. Whatever he has done for us. As a believer in Christ, God gives us this assurance. The blessing of being made right with God. Bless God, our past is wiped clean. Our present is hopeful. And our future is secured. All about you. How are we going to live as a Christian after all this? We don't have to worry about sin. God has dealt with that. Present is unsinkable boat all the way to heaven. And then we'll be in heaven when we die. Do you realize that's the value of a Christian? I wanted to go to the next part, but I'm thankful I didn't plan what happens in this life. I'll deal with it next week. But I just want to touch on, if you read verse 3, Paul says, because of this assurance you have, you can face anything in this life. You know why? Because your life has been hid in Christ. The things that happen to you, maybe it's the lightning and the waves that wet you. Yesterday when we had youth, after the youth, we wanted to drive someone back to Sembawang, and we couldn't go through. Because of the heavy rain, one of the big trees actually fell and went across the tree lanes. So we couldn't go through. That was in Emirati, where those, I think Hannah and all that, and Cherubel was there. We couldn't go through. You know, we had to make a detour. You know? But guess what? Hannah and some of the people who are in the van, they are safe in the van. They're not wet. They may be obstructed, but you all reach home safely, right? You're safe. Yes, we will face trials in this life. Yes, we will stumble and fall in this life. But you know what? When we stumble and fall into Christ. And God's grace is able to help us up again. But Brother Johnny, the pain is great. When the Lord Jesus Christ died for us at the cross, his pain is infinite because he had to suffer our hell. But thank God, he's God. He's able to take that infinite pain and by his grace change us. Now, I could go on forever, but do you realize what you have in Christ, Christians? Do you realize what you have in Christ? I don't want us to just leave this place and think, well, thank God, man. Then you go off. I don't know, and I can't do anything to change your hearts. Only the Holy Spirit can. But after understanding what Jesus has done for you, and if you're a new believer, whether you're a Christian for many years, what is your response? If you've repented of your sin, you trusted Christ, that his work at the cross can completely save you from sin and set you free from your sin. When you felt the conviction of your sins, his righteousness, and that you deserve to be cast in the lake of fire forever. But then by faith, you look to Christ and what he has done and say, I believe you to save me, Lord, from my sin forever. You can be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's when you understand your sin, the cross, and the holiness of God, and the love and the grace that comes along with it. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. You know, as a believer in Christ, I hope this challenges you as a Christian. Let me just finish with this. In the last days, the Bible teaches that the love of many people will wax cold. The love of many people will wax cold. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. Because of sin that pervades, because of the killing and the selfishness that happens all around, it's very tempting for the Christian. You know, there's this phrase that goes around, if you can't win them, then you join them, right? That's not God. That's not God. The Lord Jesus wants us to understand, if you're a believer in Christ, to take this love and this grace that you have and share it with the world. Share it with your family. Share it with someone who is still as stubborn as nails in sin. And then maybe God is trying to tell us, this verse came to my mind now. In John chapter 20, verse 21, as the Father had sent me, even so send I you. What does that mean? Perhaps for some of us as Christians, Jesus is saying this. The same way I gave my life that you may live. I need you to die to yourself, your selfish desires, your pride, your hatred, your unforgiveness. I need you to die so that someone else can live. If you have ears to hear, I pray that God will help you to hear that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your grace. Oh God, your all-sufficient grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it tells us when Paul beseeched you 3 times to take away the pain from his life, that he wanted to serve you better. But then you poured out your word to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. Lord, we are weak. Many times we stumble and fall as believers in Christ. Armed with this knowledge of your awesome grace that saved us, keeps us, and will bring us to heaven when we die, with all sins forgiven. But we in the flesh still need your help. We need to trust your grace, Lord. Father, we want to thank you, firstly, that the knowledge of your word teaches us that we are secure in Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, he said, it is finished. The entire transaction is done. Every payment is made. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, thank you for many of us here who have put faith in Christ, not depending on our own works, Lord, depending on what Jesus has done. We have eternal life. Father, I pray for a believer in Christ who professed to be saved and understood this, but yet the pull of sin, the pull of this world, the influence of this world is so strong. Heavenly Father, I pray that you give that person strength to respond by faith, to go back to the cross and to be reminded of what you have done for them. Lord, for a brother or sister who may be going through the trials of life, help them to know their soul is safe in our Savior. And that God, the waves may blow, the wind may be chilling and cold, the world can be so unkind, but yet the love of our Heavenly Father will never change for us. Your eyes closed, heads bowed, may I just ask, if you're a Christian, and say, Pastor, I'm the first person. I understand what Jesus has done for me, and yet the love of this world is so strong. Please pray for me that God, that I will put faith, I will repent and change my mind, come back to Christ and thank him for what he has done, and then to seek his face and his will for my life. Is there a Christian like that? They said, Pastor, pray for me. I need God to speak to me once again about dedicating my life 100% to him. Is there someone like this? Put your right hand, I'll pray for you. And I'll ask God to work in your heart. Amen, I see that hand. Just put it down and pray in your heart. Amen, that hand too. Is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Amen. Okay. Brothers and sisters, it is your decision with God to do business with him. Tell him exactly what you think and apply faith. Say, Lord, I believe and thank you for what you've done. Give me strength to press on for you. Is there someone else? All right, is there someone who may have a trial and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. Give me strength to stand in this moment, in this hour of trial. Is there someone like that? I just want to pray for you. Amen, I see that hand. Amen. Is there someone else? All right, if you're not a Christian, just one more question. Jesus Christ died for you and paid for your sins even before you even knew him. Jesus already paid for the sins of the entire world. But you know what? He's a personal God. And if you will come to him personally, he will deal with us personally, privately. And he will forgive your sins. And then he will put you into his grace. And then you can be with him forever. Is there someone like that? Brother Johnny, I've never heard that. But I believe the word. If that's what God done for me, I want him. Is there someone like that? I'm not a Christian. I know that. But if Jesus loves me so much, I want him. Is there someone like that? Let's pray. Father, I pray for the brethren that put up their hands, Lord. Those whom the lure of this world and the sin is so strong, I pray for your Holy Spirit to give them the grace and strength to overcome. Lord, we thank you that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In 1 John chapter 4, I pray, Father, that they will find their strength in you. Even as they are in an unsinkable boat through this life, but many times the devil may want to push us off, but yet, Lord, we are safe in you. And I pray that as this world distract these believers in Christ, I pray they'll constantly put their faith back onto you, onto the cross. I pray, Lord, for the brethren who may be going through the trial of their life. But God, their life is hid in Jesus Christ. And God, nothing in this world will shake them from that position. And I pray for your Holy Spirit and grace and strength to strengthen every fiber of their being to say, I will trust God irregardless. I know God has a better plan. I know man may fail, but God will not fail. I pray that, Lord, you will work out all the situations, even in the trial, that, Lord, that all things will work together for good for them that love you. Lord, I pray for us as a church. Help us as a church never to forget what you've done for us. Never to forget our sinful past, which has been dealt with. Never forget that we live in a time of grace, a complete 100% immersion into your grace. Lord, thank you for the grace that will take us home. Lord, that's our position and we're thankful for that. I pray as believers in Christ, we will always be thankful for what you've done for us. So Lord, I pray as we dismiss from this place, your grace follow us. And help us to live in that grace, thanking you for everything you've done. Bless the things that will follow after, the lunch, our fellowship. And may your name be honored, Lord. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.